If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn into 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to start off with Scripture this morning, so we're going to dive right in. Starting with verse 3, we're going to go 3 through 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 10. If anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Now the book of Timothy is a letter from Paul to his good friend, companion, and son in the faith, Timothy. Now Timothy is a young guy. He's a young leader. That's why I like Timothy so much. And Paul, older, wiser mentor, Paul. So we've got Paul and we've got Timothy. Timothy is the young kind of mentee. Paul is the mentor. Now, Paul has preached the gospel in Ephesus as God's chosen ambassador to the Gentiles. He brought the Christian faith to the Ephesians as a missionary for a time, and then he moved on, as was his duty from God, to continue to spread the good news of salvation about Christ. Now, some time has passed, and Paul sends Timothy back to Ephesus to set some of the leadership straight. As time went on after Paul left, you guys know how things happen. Paul came in, and he preached the gospel, and people got on fire for Jesus. And then as Paul goes away, they no longer have that steady, firm leadership of Paul. And so the leadership kind of starts to fray a little bit, that kind of starts to waver. And so, as time has passed, Paul sends Timothy back to Ephesus to set some of the leadership straight. Now, Paul, he's gotten word of false teachings, deluded teachings, things that just weren't what God had him preach and God had him teach when he introduced the faith to them. So the teachers in Ephesus aren't teaching or preaching right, and it needs to get fixed. In comes Timothy. Turn over to Timothy chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 3 through 7. This is warning against false teachers of the law. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you can command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. These promote controversies rather than God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have wandered away from these and turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm. So we mentioned false doctrines, myths, getting caught up in genealogies, things that just don't really matter, things that Paul did not teach, things that don't have to do with faith, things that don't have to do with love. And so Timothy has gone to Ephesus by himself, by the order of his mentor, to clean things up. And this, Timothy, is a letter from Paul. It's written as an encouragement to him in his mission to stay true to his faith and to not be contaminated by these false teachings. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. Says, Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them you may fight the good fight, holding on to faith and good conscience. Some have rejected these and so have shipwrecked their faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. So Timothy is over here saying, okay, People who were strong, people who were leaders have been given over. So he's gonna clean things up. We've got it that it's an encouragement. And it mentioned holding on to the faith, the prophecies that have been made about Timothy. Now Timothy, went through kind of an ordination service, like a pastor here in the Quaker meeting goes through a recording service. And at that time, the elders would lay their hands on him, and they would speak prophetic words about him, and Paul's referring to those things, the things about his gifts, about his leadership, about how God is going to use him. And so he's saying prophetic words about Timothy, keep true to those things. Keep true to those things that they said about you, that are true in you. Now I want to step out of the scripture for just a moment and see, can you imagine, just imagine for a moment, how Timothy might be feeling at this point in his ministry? Just a little bit. Here you have Paul.
Here we have Paul.
Paul was attacked on the road to Damascus by God and converted. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 9. We'll just look a little bit at Paul. Chapter 9, verses 3 through 19. Now this is Paul on his road to Damascus, and he's going to Damascus because he's going to go arrest any Christians in the temple that are professing Jesus Christ. So as he neared Damascus, starting in verse 3, on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into that city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. So Saul, who is now Paul, been converted, confronted by God on his way to Damascus to do the very opposite of what he does now. He's going to go and stop the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Saul is confronted by a light from heaven, and God says, "No more, enough, Saul, you work for me now." After 3 days of blindness, the Lord guides Ananias to Paul to lay his hands on him, heals his blindness, and Paul is filled with the Holy Spirit. So, here we have Paul. God's confronted, converted missionary, a giant in the faith and workings for the cause of Christ. Paul, who experienced God, who experienced that light from heaven. The Lord stopping him, talking directly to him, converting him. Paul, who started this ministry in Ephesus and gave specific instructions in his letter of Ephesians for living in the Christian faith, here we have Paul, who starts the ministry, and then Paul sends in little Timothy. Here we have little Timothy coming to tell all these leaders that they're wrong. Can you imagine what was going through Timothy's mind? Can you imagine maybe just a little bit of what Timothy might have been going through? What do you think people might have said to him? And probably said, "You're not Paul." They said, "You're too young. I can never be mentored by someone who's the age of my grandchild or my child." Some people might have even called him a pipsqueak. I'm trying to relate with Timothy here. Now, these people that he's going to, it's not like he's going to Bangor Liberty Friends. These are smooth talkers. Smooth talkers, arguers, said they like to get into genealogy. They like to get into all that stuff that doesn't matter and talk their way around him, try to be more educated, try to be, "We're older, so our faith is bigger. Paul was here and he started this ministry. You're just you know, like a prodigy of him. So you're not Paul. Well, I love it that it says these people had an unhealthy desire to quibble over things that don't really matter. Does anybody know anybody like that? I've met a few people who like to quibble. But none of these things help people live a life of faith in God. So, how much faith and courage do you think Timothy has to possess to be able to go to a place where he's never been, to people who don't know him, and he's young in age, and he's trying to have the authority and the message of Christ following a giant of the faith and ministry of Jesus Christ, someone so great as Paul, God's chosen ambassador to the Gentiles? You know, but Paul being wise, he knows this. He knows what it's going to have to take from Timothy. He knows how much it's going to take out of him. He knows how many things are going to be beaten down on him because he's young, because he's not Paul, because these people don't know him, because he's going into a bunch of people who are more interested in spiritual pedigrees and myths than they are the true love and faith of Jesus Christ. And so in Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 through 21, we read Paul's charge to Timothy. Verse 11. This is Paul's writing to Timothy. He says, "But you, man of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses, in the sight of God who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession. I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed, the only ruler, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure before themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed, and in doing so have wandered from the faith. Grace be with you." Now, how much do you think those words meant to Timothy? How often do you think he read that letter? Do you think he probably had parts of it memorized? He probably had the whole thing memorized. And the point is that, you know, we all go through trials. We all face opposition during our weeks. We all face unbelievers. We all have those people who like to quibble, who like to chatter, who like to talk about spiritual pedigrees, like one of them called Birthright Quaker. That's a spiritual pedigree. We can't write on that stuff because that is exactly the opposite of what Paul was teaching, of what St. Timothy needs to do. There is no such thing. There is only life in Jesus Christ, faith, and love, and living that holy life. And so these words to Timothy, oh, such an encouragement. I don't know how I would do if I didn't have my encouragers. I've got some really big encouragers here in this congregation since the day I came, and it has really helped me stay the course. Because, you know, there are people who say you're too young. There are people who say you're not good enough, or you're not educated enough. You don't have the spiritual pedigree. You're not a good enough talker. You're not a good enough doer. You're not a good enough liver. I hope we all have good livers, but we all get tired. We all get weary when the world begins stacking up against us, or when we're under spiritual warfare. We need to encourage each other, just as Paul did for Timothy. If you read through Timothy, I think you will be encouraged when you think about everything that Timothy was going through. Just because Timothy's going through some different things than we are, the point is still the same. as a body, we need to come together and encourage each other, because we all go through hard times. We all get sick. We all get run down. The world stacks up against us. We need to be encouragers, and we need to build each other up. And in doing that, we will help each other stay the course. We'll help each other grow in our faith and stay on that path that God has chosen us to walk. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have given us your message today, and I just pray that you would write it in our hearts, that you would just tattoo it there, Father God, that it would not go, and that we could be encouragers to one another, to lift each other up. And you know, we all get so caught up with our own things, but Lord, just if we could look past some of the stuff that's going on in us and look at someone else and what they may be going through and throw some encouragement their way, it may be what they need that day, maybe what they need to walk, maybe what they need to read their Bible that day, to not turn from you, to stay out of that temptation, or to strengthen their faith and not give up, Father God. Let us lift one another up in your name. Amen.